So first of all, let me welcome everyone to this continuation of overview of Srimad Bhagavatam.
欢迎大家继续学习圣典婆伽瓦坛的概要。
We had some delay because of technical problems last time, but we are hoping they're solved this time.
上次因为技术的原因我们没办法继续这个课程，希望这一次效果会好一些。
We are continuing with Canto 5.
我们继续学习第五篇圣典婆伽瓦坛第五篇。
Last time we got halfway through Canto 5. We went through chapter 15, I believe.
我们已经把这第五篇学习了一半了，我记得上次已经学完了第十五章。
So now we're coming to the second half, with chapter 16.
现在我们学下半部分，第十六章。
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale.Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Dehe Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine Mancha Kapatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo NamoOm Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Jayanarottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jayamabhirayat Nashta Prayeshava Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtiki. Before we start with chapter 16, I wanted to call attention to one verse in chapter 15. This is verse number 10.
在学习第十六章之前，我请大家关注一下第十五章的一首诗节。那是诗节十。
It is discussing about descendants of King Priyavrata, and this verse is a glorification of one King Gaya.
这是 Priyavrata 后裔的荣耀。这首诗节里面提到了 Gaya 王。
And it says that in this verse that the earth planet personified came in the form of a cow.
这首诗节描述到地球的化身以一头母牛的形象来到他们面前。
And as if she saw her calf, she delivered milk profusely.When she saw all the good qualities of Maharaj Gaya.
当她看到 Gaya 的美好的品质的时候，就像是看见自己的牛犊，奶水源源奔流而出。
So the earth as cow, this is a common idea in Vedic literature.
在文达的文献中，一个共同的理念是母牛，地球的形象就像一头母牛一样。
And just as cows give milk when they are, when they're healthy and well fed and so on, so the earth also gives milk in the form of all the benefits of the earth.
就像是一个健一头健壮的母牛可以提供乳汁一样，一个地球它也可以提供各种各样的生活的所需，所有的保障。
So that's a common idea, but here is one additional interesting aspect.
这是一个通常的理念。这里呢有一个有意思的地方。
And it's extending the analogy of the earth with the cow by saying just as cows will willingly give milk if they see their calf.
这里扩展了把地球作为母牛的这个概念，就正如母牛看到牛犊以后，它就很乐意涌流出乳汁来。
So similarly, the earth willingly gave her wealth, seeing the good qualities of the king.
同样的，当大地看到国王的美好的品质，他也乐意提供财富。
Anyway, I just wanted to point out that the Bhagavatam is poetry, like all the Vedic literature. And so, here's a nice example of this.
Bhagavatam 和所有的伟大文献一样，它是一首诗，它是诗歌。这里呢，就是一个非常好的例子。
Here, there's an analogy being given of earth and cow and good qualities of the king and the calf.
所以这里做了一个很好的比方，大地被比作母牛，国王的美好的品质被比作牛犊。
So, just to point this out, I think it's helpful sometimes to remember that the Bhagavatam is using poetic language.
所以我们需要指出的是，有时候博伽瓦坛会用运用诗一般的语言。
And I think especially this helps us to appreciate what's coming up in the next chapter and following chapters, description of the universe.
这可以帮助我们去理解下一章和之再下一章所对这个宇宙的描述。
For those of you who have already read this part of the Bhagavatam, the descriptions of the cosmos, the universe, you will know that there are many very strange things described.
对于那些已经读过了这一些章节内容的人来说，你们知道他对宇宙的描述里面有非常有一些非常稀奇古怪的描述。
Fantastic, seemingly fantastic arrangements of mountains and rivers and oceans with fantastic sizes that we cannot imagine.
那些山脉、河流、湖泊，它的体积，以及种种的细节，都是让人觉得不可思议，非常奇妙的。
None of which seems to fit with our modern conceptions of the universe.
这和我们当代的宇宙的观念是没有任何可以吻合之处。
So devotees become a little bewildered sometimes, wondering how to understand this.
所以有的时候奉献者会感到困惑不解，如何理解这些呢？
So my general advice is don't try to understand it in our ordinary sense of understanding, but simply try to appreciate how wonderful it is.
所以我通常给予的忠告是不要用我们常规的这个理念和感官去理解这个只是尝试去欣赏这一点。
Now, Maharaj Parikshit is beginning this 16th chapter with a question. He's asking about Bhumandala.
Maharishi 大君在第十六章的开篇询问了一个问题，是有关 Bhumandala 的体质。
And he says that Shukadeva Goswami already has mentioned something about the size of Bhumandala previously.
他说到 Shukadeva Goswami 在此之前已经提到了 Bhumandala 的体积。
So this may be referring to earlier in Canto 5, when he is talking about Maharaj Priyavrata, how he travels around Bhumandala in his chariot.
这就是提到了第五篇前面的部分Priyavrata 王如何坐着他的战车在Bhumandala周游。
But in another way, it could also refer to back to Canto 3, where there's a description of cosmic time.
这也可以指的是第三篇的内容，那里所提到的是宇宙的时间。
In any case, whereas in Canto 3 we got description of time, that was chapters, I think, 10 and 11. So now we're going to get a description of space.
我记得第三篇是第十章和十一章描述了宇宙的时间。现在我们来描述的是宇宙的空间。
Okay, now I want to point first to verse number 3 in chapter 16.
我首先要提出的是第十六章的第三十节。
And this verse is talking about qualification. If someone can properly comprehend this external form of the Lord, then that means that person is in the mode of goodness.
这首诗节谈论了资格，当一个人可以恰当的去理解主的外在形象，就可以认为这个人是处于善良的形态。
Or more specifically, the mind is situated in the mode of goodness.
我更为具体的说，心意是处于善良的形态。
And then it goes on to say that from that position, then it's possible to understand the subtle form of the Lord, which is referring to Paramatma.
然后他就说到，从这个地位，一个人可以理解主的精微的形象。这个精微的形象就指的是超灵。
But Parikshit Maharaj says, now I want to understand more about this external form of the Lord.
是大君说，现在我想更多的了解主的外在的形象。
And he says, in the translation, it says he wants to know how it is perceived.
在这个译文当中他说到我想知道它是如何被洞察的。
So there's a kind of subtle point here, I think. Something may be perceived in different ways.
所以这里提到了一个非常精微的要点。某物可以以不同的方式被觉察到。
And Shukadev Goswami is going to give one way that it's perceived. It doesn't mean it's the only way it can be perceived.
Shukadeva Goswami 将要告诉我们一种洞察的方式，但是这并不意味着洞察它的方式只有一种。
And so, when Shukadev begins to answer, and this is verse number 4, he says, there's no limit to the expansion of the Supreme Lord's material energy.
在第四首诗节里面，苏克德瓦狗斯拉米说，主的物质的能量的扩展无穷无尽。
He also says no one could possibly describe it perfectly or explain it perfectly.
他也说到没有人能够完美的描述它或者是解释它。
Which means, he's being humble, he's including himself. He says, I cannot describe it perfectly.
这就意味着他使自己处于一个谦卑的地位，说自己也没办法准确的完美的描述它。
And then he says, anyway, I will do my best.
但是他说不管怎样我将会尽自己最大的努力。
Yeah. So he says he's not giving a completely detailed description. He's just going to describe some principal regions.
而且他说我并不会去详述每一个细节。我只是会讲述的是一些主要的地区。
So he's taking the humble position.
这样他就是使自己处于一种谦卑的地位。
And now he's going to start describing Bhumandala.
现在他开始描述 Bhumandala.
Yeah. Well, it's a wonderful description, as I said, and my understanding is that this is the main point. Well, there are two points. One is that we're getting a description of the external body of the Lord.
这是一个非常美妙的描述。首先他描述了主的外在的形体。
And the other point is that it is very wonderful. And wonder, adbhuta, is one of the rasas, one of the minor rasas in relation to the Lord.
另外一点就是我这种惊讶也是与主的关系当中的一个不是主要的关系中的一种。
So there are a few general features of Bhumandala. One is that there are so-called islands.
在这个 Bhumandala, 它有一系列的特征。有一个特征呢，就是它的所谓的岛屿。
But these islands are, they're not what we usually think of as an island.
我们通常将它们视为岛屿。
Rather, they're like rings, which have between each concentric ring, a so-called ocean.
它有点像是 ring, it's like a ring on the finger.
Yeah.It's actually more like, you know, a target for practicing shooting arrows?
Yes. Yeah.
Like that.
Oh. 所以它就像是那个靶子我们用来射箭的那种箭靶。
Yeah, so it's concentric. That means they each have the same center, and one is smaller than bigger than bigger than bigger.
所以这种箭靶呢，它是圆形的，它有的自己的中心靶，然后呢，一圈一圈的逐渐的加大。
And then in between are these different oceans.
在这些靶子中间是不同的大洋。
And then we get description of what are called mountains.
然后我们就有对这些山脉的描述。
And the mountains have uniform sizes. It's not like the mountains that we're familiar with.
那些山脉和我们所熟悉的山脉是不一样的。
And the sizes of these mountains is very big, bigger than would fit on the earth as we experience it.
这些山脉它的体积是非常的庞大，比我们所知道的世上的任何的山脉都要庞大。
They're listed with in terms of the measurement called yojana.
它是用Yojana 这个尺寸来衡量的。
So one mountain, Sumeru, in the center of Ilavrita Mount, Ilavrita Varsha, is said to be 100,000 yojanas tall.
在 Ilavrita Varsha, 中间的苏梅鲁山，据说就是它这个高度有十万油间呢。
And so, okay, how big is a yojana? Prabhupada says it's 8 miles. I don't know what that is in kilometers. Maybe it's 12 or more kilometers.
他不怕的说一个邮件呢就是8英里，所以这个换算成这个公这个千里呢是相当于12千里。
But this is only one idea. There are different opinions. How long is a yojana?
关于一个邮件呢有多长，见仁见智，说法不一。
Some say a yojana is only 2 miles.
有人说一个邮件呢只有2英里。
And some say no, it's much longer. It's 16 miles.
有人说不长，要长得多了，是16英里。
And everything in between.
然后呢还有居中的说法。
And according to one source, a yojana is the distance that a bull or an ox can pull a cart in one day.
还有一种说法是yojana 是一种距离，是一头牛一天可以拉车拉的那么远的那个公里数。
But that could depend on many factors. The health of the animal, the quality of the road, the condition of the cart, and so on.
但是呢这也存在了很多的因素。比方说道路的状况，这头牛的健康状况，以及这个车的本身的状况。
So the point is that we can't really get a very exacting idea of these distances, and maybe they're not so important.
具体这个长度是多少，可能我们也没办法搞清楚。当然了，这个也不是特别重要。
Again, I think it's all part of the meditation that we are being offered, to appreciate, the wonder of the Lord's, physical form in the form of the universe.
所以这里能够给我们的一种呢，就是去，所做的冥想，就是欣赏主的一这个宇宙形象。这个宇宙所展示出来的主的形象，它的美妙之处。
One feature of this Bhumandala description is that it is symmetrical.
这个Bhumandala 的一个特征是，它是对称的。
And in many ways, to me,It is describing what is often called a mandala, that is a graphic design that is used in meditation.
在冥想当中，我们可以也运用这个地理方面的这个设计。
So you could say, which comes first, the graphic design concept of.Mandala, or also yantra, or is it Bhumandala that comes first?
Sorry, I don't understand the meaning.
Yeah. We might wonder that we have this idea in our mind from experience. There are many, many designs that.People use for meditation purpose. They'll be called a mandala. They'll also be called yantra. Yantra.
人们可以首先用于冥想，它可以在心经当中用这个 mandala， 也可以称为是 yantra， 就是用来做一个设计。
And the one we could ask.So which is coming first? Is it that there is Bhumandala, which has this symmetry, and out of seeing that, there is an idea which becomes other mandalas? Or, other way around, is it that there are so many symmetrical mandalas, and then from that,comes the idea to understand the universe as a mandala.
首先，就是我们有这样一个地球，它是对称的这么一个形状。那我们可以用这个理念来想象，是否这个理念这个宇宙的设计都是以这个对称的形象来展现的呢？
Well, okay, this is just some, reflection, some thinking on my part. No, there's no solution to this question.
这样的问题是没有答案的。这只是我自己的一个想法而已。
One of the wonderful things described, toward the end of chapter 16 is how to produce gold.
在十六章的末尾，它有一个非常美妙的描述，是如何制造出黄金。
So, what you need if you want to produce gold is, you need to get this, special mango juice from these mangoes, which are the size of elephants.
这个制造黄金的方法是，你要找到像一头大象那么大的芒果，用这个芒果汁来制造黄金。
芒果。
Yeah.
And then you mix that mango juice with the mud from the river Jambu Nadi.
然后把这个 芒果汁与姜布拉底和的泥土混合。
And you put that out in the sun, in the air to dry.
然后把这个泥巴就放在太阳底下晒干。
And it says here, that will produce huge quantities of gold.
这里描述到它将会产生出大量的黄金。
So, in case you ever wondered how to make gold, here is the answer.
可能你们曾经猜想过如何能够生产出黄金呢？这就是方法。
Anyway, so let's go on to chapter 17, the descent of the river Ganges.
让我们继续来学习第十七章，恒河的降临。
Now, before we start with this, I want to give another sort of analogy for the structure of the Bhagavatam.
在学习第十七章之前，我想再给大家打个比方，来描述一下如何去理解波迦瓦坛。
But I don't know if this analogy is much use for Chinese devotees. There's a certain type of classical European music called fugue.
不知道对中国奉献者有没有用？这是一个传统的西方的传统的音乐，称为 fugue.
One very famous composer was named Johann Sebastian Bach from Germany.
有一位非常著名的作曲家，他是德国的巴赫。
And he was considered a genius of this particular style of music.
他认为是创造这种音乐的天才作曲家。
So the special feature of fugue is that you have a simple musical phrase, a simple sequence of notes.
、I don't understand the meaning.
So, yeah. Well, I'm just wondering whether there's any point in making this analogy. Because unless you're familiar with the style of music, it's not much use. Anyway, the point I want to make is this, that so many of the themes in the Bhagavatam are repeated.
波迦瓦坛的很多的主题都是一再得到重复描述。
And so they will come back and come back and they will come again and again.
所以这些主题呢一再得到重申一次又一次的被强调。
Maybe a better analogy for us is an echo chamber, a room in which things echo back and forth.
所以我们可以举一个比方呢，那就是回音室，这个声响呢就在这个屋子里面回荡。
What's the word for echo?
回音。
回音。So in the first verse of chapter 17, there is reference to Vamanadev.
第七章第一首诗节里面提到了主 Vamanadev。
Vamanadev has been already mentioned very briefly in Canto 1, and then again also briefly in Canto 2.
在第一篇和第二篇中都简要地介绍了主 Vamanadeva.
And now again very briefly in Canto 5.
现在在第五章中对他又进行了简要的描述。
But then the full story of Vamanadev will come in Canto Canto 8.
在第八篇中将对 Vamana Deva 做出完整的描述。
Yeah. Here, the reference to Vamana is in relation to the Ganges River.
这里面 Vamana 与恒河有关。
And it's telling about the origin of the Ganga.
它告诉我们恒河的起源。
So the Bhagavatam as a whole is very concerned with origins.
所以佛家瓦坛这部书它非常重视起源。
Just like in the very first verse of the first canto, Janmadyasyayata, it's stating that from whom everything comes, that is the supreme truth.
就像是第一篇第一章第一节总说 Jama Desha Yada 从他万物流演出来、
yeah. So again it's about this question of causality. How are things caused?
所以这就是 缘由 万物是如何起源的。
So now we're getting the cause, the origin of the river Ganga.
现在我们有了恒河的起源。
The Ganga comes from outside of the universe, and there is made an opening in the universe by Vamanadeva's breaking through with his foot.
恒河来自这外太空，通过 Vamanadeva 把这个宇宙给用脚给踢破，他来到了这个宇宙之中。
And then, is again in the same verse, the subject of purity, purification, is mentioned because the Ganga is known for its purifying power.
这首诗节里面也提到了纯净和净化，因为恒河以它的净化力而著称。
And what I want to point out is that the Ganga is like the cosmic system of circulation, of purification and rejuvenation.
恒河呢，它就是具有净化力的，能够使人起死回生的这个净化的体系。
It's like the veins in our body.
就像我们身体里面的血管。
Our heart is pumping our blood through our bodies constantly, and by that our bodies are constantly nourished.
心脏就不断的把这血液输送到全身，以通过这样的方式，我们身体得到了滋养。
So in a similar way, the Ganga is taken to be the main artery of the body, which is this world.
所以同样的，恒河也被视为是这个世界的心脏。
And in a similar way as our bodies are purified by the blood system, they're taking impurities out of the cells and so on. Similarly, the Ganga, it is purifying.
就像身体的这个血液，它净化身体里面的毒素，同样的，恒河它也净化了这个世界。
So, in verse number 2, chapter 17, it is Dhruva Maharaj, who is mentioned.
在第二，七章第二节中提到了朱瓦大君。
And again, there is this echoing effect because Dhruva has been described in great detail already in Canto 4.
所以呢，这里又有了一个回顾，因为在第四篇中已经对朱瓦大君做出了详细的描述。
But in this verse, number 2, Dhruva is being glorified in relation to his location, which is Dhruva Loka, which is connected to the Ganga.
在第十七章第二节，又因为朱瓦大君的他的居所与恒河有关而得到了荣耀。
And at the same time, it highlights, this verse highlights how Dhruva is such an exalted devotee by referring to the ecstasy that he feels in his meditation on Krishna.
这首诗强调了朱瓦大君作为主的崇高的奉献者的荣耀，他冥想主的莲华足时所感受到的极乐之情。
This verse also anticipates what's going to be coming later in this chapter and then all of chapter 18.
这首诗节也预告了17章接下来的内容以及第18章中的内容。
And that is the making connection between special devotees and particular geographic locations.
这里就提到了一些特别的奉献者，特别是根据地理位置来描述他们。
There's also in this chapter some description of the heavenly pleasures of the demigod-like residence of the eight varshas.
这首世界里面也提到了居住在 eight varsha 中的半世人所感受到的天堂的快乐。
And so there's a contrast being made between these eight varshas and the one varsha which is Bharata varsha.
所以这个八个 varsha 与八个瓦沙与巴热特瓦沙之间就存在了一种对比。
Yeah, there are nine varshas altogether in Bhuloka, Bhumandala, and eight of them are very heavenly. And then there is Bharata Varsha, and Bharata Varsha is what we experience on earth.
在 Bhumandala总共有九个 Varsha， 有八个 Varsha 属于天堂星球，还有一个 Varsha 是 Bharata Varsha， 是我们所体验到的地球。
Anyway, there'll be more about this later. Verse number 9, toward the end, it mentions that it is not very difficult. Persons who come to bathe in the river Ganges are fortunate. It is not very difficult for them to achieve with every step the results of performing great sacrifices like the Rajasuya and Ashwamedha yajnas.
那些来恒河中沐浴的人是非常幸运的， 通过沐浴所得到的成果和那些通过举行马祭这样伟大祭祀的结果相当，所以这个沐浴所获得的结果并不是很难以获得的。
So again, the Ganges is purifying, and the point here is, this is one of the, you could say, most common religious activities you will see in India, that people go to the Ganges and bathe.
在恒河中沐浴是非常有净化力的，在印度你可以看到一个非常常见的一个宗教行为呢，就是人们来到恒河中沐浴。
So this idea of purification by bathing in the river Ganges is very ancient.
所以在恒河中沐浴以得到净化这种理念在印度是非常古老的。
Yeah. Now there's mention starting with verse 16 of Lord Shiva living in Ilavritavarsha.
这里提到居住在 Ilavritavarsha 的主希瓦。
And here again we read something very wonderful and amazing.
这里我们也读到了一些非常令人惊叹的内容。
That Lord Shiva is living here surrounded by 10 billion maidservants of the goddess Durga.
主希瓦居住在这里，被100亿幸运女神Durga 所环绕着。
Yeah, 10 billion, that's a lot.
是的，100亿是很多人。
They say that presently on the Earth planet, we are something over 7 billion, between 7 and 8 billion people.
据说现在我们地球上生活的是有70亿人。
So 10 billion, and they're all women, and they're all surrounding Lord Shiva.
这一百亿都是女人，她们都在环绕侍奉着主希瓦。
Again, this, well, two things. One is when we see a description of a person surrounded by other persons, that's also a kind of mandala.
一个人为其他人所环绕着，这也是一种 mandala。
We see this already in first canto, description of the sages at Naimisharanya.
在此我们已经在第一篇中看到了对 Naimisharanya 森林中的圣者的描述。
And we will see again in canto 6, Lord Shiva,will be surrounded by sages.
在第六篇中我们也会看到主希瓦为那些圣者们所环绕。
And of course in Canto 10 we get Lord Krishna surrounded by the gopis.
在第十篇中我们会看到在 Rasa 之舞中 Krishna 为那些牧牛姑娘们所环绕。
So again, you could say that here we get an anticipation of the Rasa dance.
对，这里
It's not Rasa dance, but it anticipates the Rasa dance.
对，这里也预告了 Rasa 之舞。
So again, we have this idea of an echo chamber.The Bhagavatam is an echo chamber.
所以这也是波迦瓦坛中的回音室。
Then in verse number 20, I just wanted to point out, it refers to people who see improperly. They cannot properly perceive. They have polluted vision, asat drisha.
第二十节中，我想先提指出的是，有些人呢，他不能够正他以恰当的方式去看到，他们有着被污染的视域，称为是asat drisha。
And in their misperception, they think that the Lord is intoxicated.
在他们的误解当中，他们认为主是被迷醉了。
And then that makes them angry.
这使他们生气。
And because they become angry, the Lord becomes angry.And also fearful.
因为他们生气，所以主本人也生气，而且令人害怕。
But then he says, actually, all of this is an illusion.
但是实际上这一切都是幻觉。
And then at the end of the verse comes a rhetorical question.Therefore, who will not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because he is undisturbed by the moods of the devotees.
所以这里就会有一个反问，谁会不崇拜至尊人格守神呢？因为他不会被奉献者的形态所困扰。
Yeah. Okay, jumping now to chapter 18, called The Residents of Jambudvip Offer Prayers.
现在我们跳到第十八章。这十八章的标题是江浦堆法居民向主供奉祷文。
Because we are just doing an overview and trying to point out certain special features and themes.
所以因为这里我们只是概览，所以我们会指出这部经典里各种各样的特征和主题。
So here we're getting prayers by different residents of Jambudvip to different forms of the Lord.
现在是Jambudvipa居民向主的不同的形象供奉的祷文。
And actually this continues from the previous chapter toward the end. Lord Shiva is offering prayers.To, I think it's to Sankarsana.
就继续前面的章节里面，主希瓦对山卡尔山所供奉的祷文。
Yeah. And we have two kind of famous verses, favorites of devotees. This is chapter 18, verse number 8 and number 9.
十八章第八节和第九节，这两首诗节是奉献者最喜欢的两首诗节。
Here we have the location, because we're still sort of moving around the universe. So this is Harivarsha, and in Harivarsha is Prahlad Maharaj and his associates.And so they're worshipping Singhadev in Harivarsha.
因为我们现在还是处在这个 Harivarsha 这个地方。Harivarsha 是帕拉达大君和他的同游所生活的地方。在此，帕拉达大君向主女辛哈德瓦供奉祷文。
I want to chant the Sanskrit of verse number 8. It's very nice.
然后呢，就想要为我们吟诵第八节的梵文，这个梵文非常好。
Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jaste Jase Avir Avir Bhava Vajanatka Vajradanshtra Karmashayan Randhaya Randhaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Avayam Avayam Atmani Bhuishta Om Shraum. And if you like, you could read the translation, Mataji.
我向一切力量的源泉，主，你的心哈，致以前进的顶拜。我那拥有闪电般指甲和牙齿的主啊，请仁慈的摧毁我们欲求在物质世界中进行果报活动的恶魔般的渴望，请显现在我心中，驱除我们的愚昧，以便借着您的仁慈，我们在这个物质世界为生存而奋斗的时候无所畏惧。
So a nice thing about this verse, it's very much the mood of Prahlad and of the Bhagavatam in general, is it's not about, oh, Nrisingadeva, please go out and kill my enemies. It's about recognizing that the problem is having demon-like desires within my own heart.
你帕拉达的祷文以及佛教法坛中的祷文有很多卓越之处是在于帕拉达大君并没有祈祷主，你心好啊，请出去杀死我所有的敌人，而是他深深的意识到内心存在着很多恶魔般的想法和欲望。
And then the next verse goes, you can say, a step further in wishing well to everyone in the universe, including everyone who is envious.
第九世节更进一步，它是为这个宇宙中的众生祈求福祉，甚至包括那些嫉妒成性的人士。
Okay, jumping now to verse 18. This is a prayer by Lakshmi Devi.
现在我们跳到第十八节，这是 Lakshmi Devi 所供奉的祷文。
Om Hram Kring Rung Om Namo Bhagavate Rishikeshaya Sarvaguna Visheshaya Vilakshidatmane Akutinam Chittinam Chetasam Visheshanam Chavipataye Shodashakalaya Chando Mayayam Namayayam Ritamayaya Sarvamayaya Sahase Ojase Valaya Kantaya Amaya Namaste Ubayatra Bhuyat. These verses are extremely tantric in character. They show that in the Bhagavatam there is a tradition represented, and the tradition is called Tantra.
这些诗节呢，非常具有Tantra这个性质啊。Tantra呢是佛教法坛中的一种祷文的形式。
When you have such syllables in the beginning, Ram, Rim, Rum, this is Tantra.
Rim, Rum，这就是Tantra.
Yes. The Bhagavatam is very inclusive, so one of the things that it's including is this, what I call a current of Indian religion called Tantra. But that's a big subject we won't go into.
佛教法坛它是包罗万象的，所以它也包含了 Tantra 这一流派。
So Maharaj, what's the meaning of tantra? Can you explain for us?
I was afraid you would ask. It's a big subject.
Tantra 呢，它是一个很大的一个体制。
Tantra is a form of activity which emphasizes our physicality, our physical bodily existence.
它是一种活动的形式，强调的是我们的躯体的存在。
And our connection with the universe. So we are a microcosm, the world is a macrocosm.
以及我们与这个宇宙的关系，我们是一个小宇宙，这个世界呢是个大宇宙。
And the idea is by manipulation of material things in certain special ways, we may gain some control in the material world, which leads to liberation.
通过以某种方式控制这个物质世界中的事物，我们可以获得对这个物质世界的控制，最终达到解脱。
Actually, our deity worship tradition is part of the Tantra tradition.
实际上，我们的神像崇拜传统也是 Tantra 传统中的一部分。
But our deity worship is Sattvika Tantra. It is Tantra in the mode of goodness.
但是我们的神像崇拜是 Sattvika Tantra, 是善良形态的 Tantra。
Yeah. Okay, that was a short answer. Let's go on to chapter 19, called The Island of Jambudvipa.
现在我们继续第十九章学习。这十九章的标题是香。
So Jambudvipa is a portion of Bhumandala.
Jambudvipa 是 Bhumandala 的一部分。
And within Jambudvipa there are 9 varshas.
在 Jambudvipa 中在 Jambudvipa 在布曼德拉中有九个 Varsha.
No, the other way around, I think. Jambudvip is part of Bhumandala, and Jambudvip is divided into 9 Varshas.
Jambudvipa 是这个布曼德拉的一部分， Jambudvipa 被分割成九个 Varsha.
And one of the Varshas is Bharata Varsha.
其中一个 Varsha 是 Bharata Varsha.
So, in chapter 18, we got prayers to different forms of the Lord in different Varshas. And now we come to Bharata Varsha.
在前面的章节，我们有江波堆的居民祈祷，现在我们到了 Bharata Varsha.
And the special thing about Bharata Varsha is this is where Varnashrama Dharma is practiced.
这里面有一个特征是Ramachandra 就是在这里实践了 Dharma.
Not Ramachandra.
Ramachandra.
I wasn't saying anything about Ramachandra. I was saying the special thing about Bharata Varsha is this is the place where Varna Ashrama Dharma is practiced.
Oh, sorry. 这个地方呢是 Varna Ashrama Dharma 在这里得到了实行。 就是是社会阶层，是灵性境界。
Yeah, so this makes Bharatavarsha very special.
这使得 Bharatavarsha 非常的特别。
And it's described that the demigods want to come to Bharatavarsha so that they can become purified.
这里描述到万世人都想来到 Bharatavarsha 以得到净化。
Okay, verse number 24. This is spoken by the demigods, the devas. And they're talking about desire and the problem of desire.
第24节是半世人所供奉的祷文，他们谈到了各种各样的欲望以及欲望所带来的麻烦。
An intelligent person does not take interest in a place, even in the topmost planetary system, if the pure Ganges of topics concerning the Supreme Lord's activities does not flow there. If there are no devotees engaged in service on the banks of such a river of piety, or if there are no festivals of Sankirtan Yajna to satisfy the Lord.
一个地方即便在最高星宿，倘若有关至尊主活动的话题的恒河水未流经那里，假如这样的虔诚河流的岸边没有奉献者在从事服务，而没有取悦主的 Sankirtan Yajna 节日，尤其有智慧的人也不会对此地感兴趣。
Okay, now here I wanted to note that Srila Prabhupada takes some, let's say, liberty in his translation.
这里我想指出的是，帕布帕德在翻译的时候，进行了发挥。
Because the word Ganges does not come in the Sanskrit.
因为在梵文中没有出现恒河这个词儿。
The Sanskrit says Vaikuntha Kata Sudha Apaga. So Vaikuntha Kata, discussions about the Lord's activities, that's okay.
这里面说到 Vaikuntha Kata Asuda, 是指的是讨论的是主的 体旨，这个没关系。
And Sudha means nectar, or it can also mean liquor, intoxicating beverage.
Sudha 的意思是甘露，或者是使人 迷醉的饮料。
And Apaga means rivers.
Apaga 的意思是 是河流。
So rivers of the nectar of this, the stories about Vaikuntha.
所以这个词的意思是主在瓦昆塔的故事的甘露之河。
But Prabhupada says Ganges. Why does he say Ganges?
但是帕帕特就把这个翻译成了恒河，为什么他称它为恒河呢？
It could be because this is the explanation by one of the previous acharyas in their commentary.
可以有这样的说法，因为这是一位先前的 acharya 在评述当中所解释的。
And it could also be because just before in chapter 17,we had a description of the descent of the Ganges.
而且在第十七章中我们有恒河降临的描述。
So again, it's a kind of echo, this time echoing back from the Ganges description before.
所以呢这又呼应了前面的对恒河的描述。
Okay. Verse number 27, chapter 19.
第19章中的27节。
A point which is quite important for us trying to be Vaishnavas.
对于我们这些努力想成为 Vaishnava的人士来说, 有一点是非常重要的。
About how the Lord fulfills desires, but not the desires which will lead us to expect more from the Lord.
主会使我们满足欲望, 但是呢, 不会使我们, 欲壑难填。
And it gets back to the broader point about desire in general, how desire is really fulfilled by the Lord Himself.
所以这就提到了一个要点, 就如何满足奉献者真诚的愿望。
That it is the shelter of the Lord which gives full satisfaction. All desires are fulfilled just by the shelter of the Lord.
主的庇护给予我们满足，使我们的所有的心愿都得到了实现。
And again, Srila Prabhupada uses an expression I don't think we find in the Sanskrit.
同样的，帕布哈德。 他的解释呢也是在梵文的字义中是找不到的。
He says at the end of this verse, he says, that is the Supreme Personality's special mercy.
他说这就是至尊人物的特殊仁慈。
Well, it's not directly in the Sanskrit, but one could take it that way.
当然，在梵文词的这个本意当中呢是没有这种意思的，但是呢，我们可以这样来理解。Sometimes
Srila Prabhupada is giving some purport within his translation of the verse.
有时候帕帕德在翻译这个释节的时候，就给我们提供了要旨。And
I believe this is one such case.
所以这也是一种风味儿。
Okay, now I want to go on to chapter 20, the structure of the universe, briefly.
现在我们来学习第20章, 这个宇宙的结构的一个简要描述。
Just to mention that it's giving a description of the other dvipas, Plakshadvipa, Salmali Dvipa, so many strange names.
他也描述了其他的dvipa, 有一些名字奇奇怪怪的dvipa.
And then I want to go toward the end, verse number 42.
现在我们想要跳到诗节的42。There
is a place which is called Loka Loka.
有个地方名称为 Loka Loka.
It means Loka Aloka. Place, no place.
这个地方 是地方又不是地方。
So this is being described as the outermost area beyond all of the Varshas is this ring of mountains called Loka Loka.
在这个 Loka Loka 山外面是那个叫 Loka Varsha 的地方。
So this is getting way, way out to the edge of Bhumandala.
这实际上就到了这个Bhumandala 的边缘地带。
And at the end of the verse, it says, Lord Krishna took Arjuna through this place to bring back the sons of the Brahmana.
在这首诗节里面说到，主 Krishna 带着 Arjuna 穿过这些地方，带回了 Brahmana 死去的儿子们。
Yeah. Now again, this is not in the verse.
这段描述也没有在诗节的原文当中找到。
So Srila Prabhupada is telling us what is going to be described in Canto 10.
Prabhupada 在告诉我们将要在第十篇中所描述的内容。
So that when we read that portion, that chapter, it's one of the last chapters of the 10th canto. When it mentions loka loka, then we can say, oh yes, I remember, that's in Canto 5.
所以等我们读到了第十篇中的最后一章这段内容的时候，我们就会想起，哦，是的，在第五篇中我们曾经读到了关于 loka loka 的描述。
Okay. Chapter 21. We're moving right along.
现在我们已经顺利地学到了第21章。
Here the subject is the movements of the sun.
这里的主题是太阳的运行。
And, in one sense, this also connects us back to chapter 11 of Canto 3.
在某种意义上来说，这一章又和第三篇的第十一章连接起来了。
Because that description of time expands from the shortest portion, tiniest, shortest moments to the longest periods of time, of great ages and kalpas.
那里对时间的描述从最短的片刻到最长漫长的年代 kalpa.
And it's mentioned there that the year, the period of 1 year, is the period that it takes the sun to rotate its cycle completely.
需要太阳花上一年的时间能够完全的就是自转一圈。
And the period of 1 year is considered very important because it is describing a system of sacrifices which are performed over the period of 1 year.
这一年的时间是非常重要的，因为它涉及到一年中所举行的各项祭祀。
So the idea is, the Bhagavatam is of course also tying in the Vedic, I mentioned the Tantra system, it's tying in the Vedic system of sacrifice as well.
这个佛教瓦坛也纳入了伟达的祭祀的体系。
And it describes that the sun is moving on a chariot, and this chariot has only one wheel. This is verse number 13.
在第四十三节中说到，太阳是在一架战车上运行的，这个战车只有一个轮子。
And if we read this carefully, we can see that this is giving us an extended allegory.
如果我们 仔细的阅读的话，我们会发现他给了我们一个扩展的一个比方。
What do I mean by that? It says the 12 months are calculated to be the 12 spokes of this river, of this wheel.
我的意思是说，在这里十二个月，就好比这个车轮的十二根辐条。
And the six seasons are the sections of its rim.
六个季节是它车轮的部分。
And the three chaturmasya periods are its three-sectioned hub.
这个三个 chaturmasya 是三个部分组成的车轮。
So in other words, we have a wheel which is described in terms of periods of time.
所以换句话说，我们这个车轮是由这个三段时期所构成的。
So what sort of wheel is that?
这是一个什么样的车轮啊？
It's an allegorical wheel. A wheel of allegory.
这是一个比方，像一个比喻性的车轮。
And then is mentioned, starting with verse 15, that this chariot of the sun is pulled by different horses.
在十五节中说到，这个车是由不同的马来拉着的。
And the names of the horses are the names of the Vedic meters.
这些马呢都是以伟达的音部来命名的。
So we have Vedic meters pulling the sun. What does that mean?
伟达的音部在拉着这个太阳的这个车，这是什么意思啊？
Well, the idea is that it is the sacrifice done by the Brahmins which is maintaining, which is sustaining the universe.
婆罗门所举行的祭祀在维系这个宇宙。
And this is a very different worldview than our modern worldview that things are simply happening mechanically.
所以这个世界观与我们的以机械方式所看待的这个世界观是截然不同的。
Yeah. Okay, let's go to chapter 22.
现在我们来学习第二十二节。
And let's see, we have 22. We have five chapters more in this canto. Let's see if we make it.
我们还有五章要学，不知道是不是有时间学完。
Just very briefly to say for chapter 22, it's about the orbits of the other planets briefly, and then there's focus again on the sun and the moon.
第二十二章是众星球的轨道，然后呢，重点讲述的是太阳和月亮。
And it seems to me that this chapter is reflecting astrological culture that the planets are important in different ways, but most important are the sun and the moon in influencing our lives.
这我的理解是，它讲述的是占星的文化，这些星球，它对我们以各种方式对我们施加影响， 尤其是日月所对我们产生的影响。
Yeah. Okay, nothing more we need to mention there. It's a nice chapter. Let's go to chapter 23.
Okay, 这章内容很好，那我们继续来学习，第23章。
And here we get another analogy, and that is that the stars are all revolving around Dhruva Loka like bulls yoked to a threshing device.
这里呢又有一个非常好的描述，一个比方，所有的星球围着北极星来运转，好像是就像是那个牛被绳所牵引一样。
So we have a description, you could say, of cosmic geography, but the Bhagavatam wants to make another point.
我们可以说这是一个宇宙的地理学，但是波迦瓦檀它有另外要强调的要点。
And that is a point about the nature of karma.
这就是karma 的本性。
In the middle of verse number 3, it says, fastened by the supreme personality of Godhead to the machine of material nature, according to the results of their fruit of acts, they, conditioned souls, are driven around the pole star, or the stars, by the wind, and will continue to be so until the end of creation.
这里面说到，按照他们果报活动的结果，被至尊人格守身，捆缚在物质自然的机器上，被风驱策的这环绕北极星，并且将继续保持这种状态，直到创造结束。
And it says in the next verse that this whole big giant cosmic machine is looking like the form of a Shishumara, which is a dolphin.
这第四节说到，这架由星体和星球组成的巨大机器，好像一头水中的 Shishumara, 就是海豚的形状。
So that's, anyway, that's further described in the next chapter. The point is that just like we refer to the constellations as particular figures, like different animals you have in Chinese astrology, I think. So that's also here.
Oh, 就像我们中国的这个占星术也有不同的这个动物的形状的比喻和描述一样，同样的在这个伟达的星球占星观中呢也有了类似的理念。
Yeah. Okay, now we're moving down. This has been looking upNow we look down in chapter 4 to the subterranean heavenly planets.
现在我们来到第24章，是地下的天堂星球。
And here we get a story briefly told of Bali and Vamana.
这里又简要的讲述了巴利和 Vamana 的故事。
Again, this is echoing, but it's anticipatory echo. It's anticipating Canto 8.
所以这里也预告了第八篇的内容。
And there's a very interesting sort of expression in verse number 24.Where Indra is being criticized.
在第二十四节中有一个非常有意思的描述，在这里因着受到了批评。
Do you want to read that verse, Mataji?
Yeah. 哎，天堂国王因着多么可怜，虽然他很有学识，很有力量，虽然他选择 Brihaspati 担当首相并指导他，但是他对灵性进步全然无知， Brihaspati 也不明智，因为他没有正确的教导他的门徒因着。鲁瓦曼的 Deva 就站在因着门外，但是国王因着没有向他祈求做超然爱心服务的机会，而是为了他的感官享乐，让主向我索取三个世界的布施。统治三个世界非常微不足道，因为无论一个人拥有什么物质富裕，只能持续一个玛努时期，而一个玛努的时期只是无限时间的微小部分。
Yeah. This is a kind of ironic verse because it is being spoken in anticipation of what's being described in Canto 8.
这首诗节它预告了第八篇中的内容，但实际上呢，这首诗节是一首讽刺诗。
And I'm sure you know the story of Vamanadev cheating Bali Maharaj.
我相信大家都知道 Vamanadeva 骗巴利大金的故事。
But here the focus is on how foolish Indra is, because Indra is the older brother of Vamana.
但是这里所强调的是 Indra 有多么愚蠢。Indra 是 Vamanadeva 的哥哥。
And Brihaspati is the guru of Indra.
Brihaspati 是 Indra 的 guru.
So it's also making, you can say, laughing at Brihaspati that he is not a very good guru because he didn't teach his disciple Indra to act properly.
所以这里也嘲笑了Brihaspati, 因为他作为 guru 没有教导 Indra 如何正确的行事。
And Indra, what was Indra's fault? Instead of worshipping Vamanadeva, he engaged him in his service.
Indra 错在哪里呢？他不但没有崇拜 Vamanadeva, 反倒让他来服务自己。
So this is kind of humorous. The Bhagavatam has its humorous moments.
所以这就是《薄伽瓦坛》中的一些幽默的篇章。
And the next couple of verses are Bali Maharaj speaking to glorify his grandfather Prahlad.
接下来的几首诗节，巴利大君荣耀了他的祖父帕拉达大君。
But all of this is within the context of describing space, cosmic space.
所有这些都是处在对这个宇宙空间的描述的这个背景之中。
In which there is very much a sense of hierarchy, of lower and higher positions.
这个有一种有种等级数，有高低之分。
Yes, it's a hierarchical cosmology.
So 这是 hierarchical. What's the meaning of hierarchical?
Hierarchy means when you have some system where something is up and something is lower and something is lower than that. There is a vertical structure in which something is higher and more superior than something else. You can have a hierarchical social structure in which, for example, Brahmanas are considered higher than Kshatriyas, which are considered higher than Vaishyas, so on. So that's a hierarchy.
所以这是一种宇宙的等级观，等级制度就是有高低贵贱之分。
Okay, maybe that's a little difficult. I just wanted to point out that there's a very strong sense in the Bhagavatam of higher and lower.
在佛教法坛中非常强调什么是更高等的，什么是更低等的。
So now we're in the subterranean heavenly planet. Subterranean means below the earth.
现在我们有处于地球之下的天堂星球。
But Vamanadev, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is going to become, after Bali surrenders to him, Vamana is going to become his doorkeeper.
在巴利大经皈依了主 Vamanadeva 之后， Vamanadeva 将会成为他的看门人。
And so, anyway, there's a lot of irony here. We have the Supreme Personality of Godhead going down to the lower realm. Although he is the highest of all beings, he is coming now down to the lower place.
所以这里有很多不可思议的地方。虽然至尊主作为人格守神，他现在却到了到了低等的地方，成为他仆人的看门人。
And also earlier, the demigods are praying to come down to Bharatavarsha so that they can practice Varnashrama and go to the highest level of liberation.
之前呢也有半世人祈祷来到 Bharatavarsha 来实践 Varnashram Dharma， 然后以达到最高层面的解脱。
And now in chapter 25 we go even further down, we go to the realm of Ananta.
在第25章中我们又更下到了 Ananta 的这个区域。
It says that Anantadeva resides at the root of the planet Patala.
据说 Ananta 他住在这个星球的根部， Patala 星球的根部。
So Patala is the lowest of the subterranean heavenly planets.
Patala 是在地球之下的天堂星宿的最底端。
And yet Ananta, who is a form of the Lord, is living below Patala.
Ananta 作为主的一个形象，他居然住在 Patala 的底部。
Let's go to verses 12 and 13.
现在我们来看12节和13节。
So the word Ananta means unlimited.
Ananta 的意思是无穷无尽的。
And after all of this description that we have received of the world of the universe, starting with chapter 16, now Shukadeva is saying all of this incredible universe is it's resting just like an atom on one of the many thousands of hoods of Ananta.
Sukadeva Goswami 在描述了所有这些星系之后，他说到了，所有这些 宇宙就像是一颗原子栖息在主成千上万的头中的一个头上。
So it's putting all of this into perspective. It's pointing out that this world is, however huge, however great it seems to be to us, in relation to the Lord, it is insignificant.
所以这就是向我们展示了他的视域。虽然这个星球如此的巨大，对我们来说已经是非常的庞大了，但是对主来说，它是极其微不足道的。
So Ananta is unlimited, his glories are unlimited, and so it becomes impossible to describe his glories.
Ananta, 他是无穷无尽的，他的荣耀也是无穷无尽的，所以也不可能去描述他的荣耀。
And so we come back to another theme of the Bhagavatam, and that is the power of speech, but in this case, the impotency of speech.
所以我们又接触到了波迦瓦坛的一个主题，言语的力量。这里所描述的是言语的不尽如人意之处。
Yeah. Okay. Then at the very end, verse 14 and 15 of chapter 25. Shukadev is asking King Parikshit, so what more do you want to hear?
在十节十四和十五中， Shukadeva Goswami 问 Parikshit 大君，你想要聆听什么样的题旨呢？
But before this, he says, he pretty much summarizes the whole description of the universe in verse 14.
在此之前，他在十节十四中，对这个宇宙呢，进行了极其浓缩的概括。
Says those conditioned souls who are full of material desires achieve various situations in different planetary systems, and in this way they live within this material creation.
这些心中充满物质欲望的、受条件限制的灵魂，在不同星系中取得不同地位，他们就这样生活在这个物质创造之中。
And then in the beginning of verse 15, he highlights that this whole description of the universe is really a description of desires.
在第十五节中开头他说到，这对各种各样的宇宙的描述，实际上也就是对各种各样欲望的描述。
That basically everyone is getting what they want.
基本上是人人各随所愿。
And what they want is a particular kind of enjoyment in the world, so the world provides that.
他们所要的就是不同类型的享乐，而这个世界就相应的提供了。
Yeah. And then finally we come to chapter 26, the last chapter of Canto 5.
现在我们来到最后一章，第五篇中的最后一章，也就是26章。
Now, the question that Parikshit Maharaj asks in the first verse may seem to us as a kind of foolish question.
Parikshit Maharaj 所询问的问题在我们看来似乎是一个愚蠢的问题。
I mean, Shukadeva has already explained that people get in, or living entities come into different situations as a result of their desires.
我的意思是说 ,Shukadeva Goswami 已经解释了一个人是由于他自己活动的结果而生活在不同的处境当中。
Well, because what we're getting is a more specific understanding. It has to do with the modes of nature that determine is one going up or is one going down in the universe.
这里呢是一个特定的理解，是根据物质自然形态而决定一个人是升还是降。
And of course, chapter 26, the hellish planets, is then going to describe, the places one goes as a result of desiring in the mode of ignorance.
这里描述到了一个人，在愚昧形态中的欲念使他进入的境界。
There's a famous photograph of Srila Prabhupada smiling as he's looking at the paintings describing the hellish planets in the beginning of the English edition when he first received it.
有一个照片，正好是帕布帕德看到我们的国家瓦坛中对地狱星球的描绘的时候，他把微笑的这个情景。
We can just go to one such verse, verse number 11.
我们可以先看一下第十一节。
You can, Mataji, read this verse.
Okay.一个嫉妒的人在一生中对许多生物施以暴行，因此在他死后，当他被 Yamaraja 带到地狱时，那些曾被他伤害的生物显现为名叫如如的动物，使他遭受剧烈的痛苦。文学的学者把这个地狱叫做 Rau Rava如如在这个世界上不常见，他们比蛇更加嫉妒。
Yeah, so, this does not sound like a very nice place.
这个地方听来不怎么样。
And this is, of course, the point that if we don't want to be put into suffering conditions, we have to be very careful.
这里要强调的一点是，如果我们不想被扔进这种痛苦的境界，我们需要小心在意。
And the general theme through this in terms of behavior and karma is one will suffer if one causes suffering to others.
所以业报的一个理念是，如果我们给其他人带来痛苦，我们将要为此而承受恶果。
Verse number 39 finally gives us a kind of summary of meditational practice.
第三十九节给了我们一个冥想的概述。
And you could say this is summarizing all the way from the beginning of chapter 16.
它实际上概述了从16章到最后一章的内容。
And can you read this verse, Matthew?
对解脱有兴趣，接受解脱之途，不被受条件限制的生命之途吸引的人称为亚提或奉献者。聆听了地主宇宙形体和灵性形体的描述之后，这种人应当首先通过冥想主的巨大宇宙形体 Virata Rupa 来控制心意，然后逐渐冥想 Krishna 的灵性形象 Sachi Ananda Vigraha， 如此心意就会稳处于 Samadhi 之中。通过奉献服务，一个人随后能觉悟主的灵性形体，这是奉献者的目的地，如此他的生命真大成功。
Yeah, so there we have it. By devotional service, one can then realize the spiritual form of the Lord, which is the destination of devotees. This is the real point.
这里强调的真正的要点是，通过奉献服务，我们可以觉悟主的灵性形体，这就是奉献者的目的地。
So this is Canto 5, which is getting us toward the middle of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
第五篇就把我们带到了圣典博伽瓦坛的中央。
And with Canto 6, we will encounter various episodes describing devotees who get into trouble and then how they receive the mercy of the Lord to eventually become free of trouble.
第六篇呢，我们就会遇到一些遇到麻烦的奉献者，这些奉献者积着主的仁慈，最后都化险为夷。
Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So we finished 5 minutes early. If anyone has a short question.
现在我们已经提前五分钟讲完了。第五篇的内容，现在有谁有简短的问题，马哈拉就可以为我们解答。
Hare Krishna。我想问一个问题，就是刚刚最后一个时节就讲到那个冥想的程序，他说的应该也是就是奉献者对于至尊主的这个冥想程序，先冥想主的这个庞大的宇宙形象，然后通过灵性觉悟的提升才能觉悟，才能冥想主的 Krishna 的灵性的形体。但是我不能理解的是，因为那个宇宙形象那么大，实际并不很好能够做到这样的冥想啊，这个我不太理解。
For the last verse, it is recommended that the devotee first of all meditate the Virata Rupa and then gradually realize Krishna's spiritual form. So as the Virata Rupa is so huge, it's not easy to meditate. So you know, it's difficult to do this kind of meditation.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why the description is there. So just reading the description is a kind of meditation.
所以有对主的宇宙形象的描述，只是阅读这些描述就是一种类型的冥想。
And then I think the idea is also one can meditate on different aspects of the universal form.
还有我们可以去冥想这个宇宙形象的不同的方面。
So we can meditate on the stars and the planets and the sun and the moon. These are all parts of the universe.
我们可以冥想日月，各个星球，这也是这个宇宙形象中的一部分。
Yeah, I don't think one is really expected to comprehend the entire universe.
实际上一个人没有办法去充分理解整个宇宙。
But rather we are invited from whatever efforts we make to comprehend the universe as the Lord's body, to then to contemplate the Lord himself.
所以我们the meaning I couldn't catch.
We are invited as we try to meditate on the universe as the Lord's body to then realize our limitations in doing so. And then we can meditate, we can direct our attention to the Lord's personal body.
首先呢，推荐我们去去冥想主的巨大的宇宙形体，然后因为我们是没办法充分的去冥想，得意识到自己的不足之处，有限之处，然后我们逐渐去过渡到冥想主的这个灵性的形象。Is that possible? We cannot meditate or cannot meditate the Virat Roop, but we can meditate directly Krishna's personal form, like Shyama Sundara or other form.
I mean, the Bhagavatam is taking us from square one, from the very first step up to the highest step. And of course, it's also, we realize it's in many ways easier to meditate on the Lord's personal form. So when we realize that, that's very nice.
我刚刚问 Maharaj, 我们是否不需要去冥想这个宇宙形象，或者是因为我们无法去充分的冥想这个宇宙形象而直接去冥想主的这个个人形象，比方说 Radha Shama Sundara 这种形象，然后我们二是说这个波迦瓦坛就把我们从第一步一直提升到这个最后一步，就是我们是可以去冥想主的灵性的形象。
But part of the meditation on the universal form that this is giving us, Canto 5, is reminder thatall karmic activity is simply leading to different locations in the material world.
在佛教瓦坛中冥想主的宇宙形象也有一个提醒，是我们各种各样的活动的结果会使我们来到这个宇宙中的不同的区域。
So, I'm planning my next visit to China, and I will be going to Beijing, I think on the 13th of November.
马上人会在11月13号拜访北京，现在他在计划着中国之行。
And I'll be spending most of my time there.
绝大多数的时间是将要在北京。
And I'm sorry to say, it turns out we won't have time for coming to Shanghai.
很抱歉，没有时间来上海了。
My apologies. It just works out this way.
抱歉，这个事情安排就是这样。No problem. We're looking forward to your next visit next year.
Well, maybe Gopi Krishna Mataji, you can visit in Beijing for some days.
Maybe. Yeah. Let's see Krishna, what's Krishna's plan.
Okay. All right, so I guess we will end there. Thank you all so much. Thank you for a nice translation.
感谢大家，感谢翻译，还挺多的。
All best wishes to our listeners.
所有的，给予我们所有的听众最好的祝愿。